Let's read together Psalms 92 and 93. Psalm 92 is a psalm of praise to the Lord for his judgment of the unrighteous and for his blessings on the righteous. Psalm 93 is an enthronement psalm in which God's sovereignty and the truth of his word is acknowledged and praised. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Let's begin our study of Psalm 92 with some background notes. Verse 1 says that it is good to praise the Lord. Would you agree? Why is it good to praise the Lord? Well, we can think of several reasons. Let's list four. Number 1, the Bible says so. Verse 1, once again, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Number 2, the Lord deserves to receive all our praise. After all, he is the Lord. Number 3, there's so much to praise the Lord for. Think of his constant and continual loving kindness and faithfulness. Verse 2, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And number 4, the Lord brings us joy and gladness with his wonderful and awesome works. Verse 4, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. No wonder our praise of the Lord should be with joyful music. Verse 3, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point for Psalm 92. Believers should praise the Lord for his goodness and greatness. Believers should praise the Lord for his goodness and greatness. Verses 5 through 11. Now we saw in verses 1 through 4 of this psalm that it is good to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good in all that he does. Now in verses 5 through 11, the emphasis is on the greatness of God in all his works, including his works of judgment. Let's read these verses, verses 5 through 11 of Psalm 92. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this, when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, O the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11, 33. Let me ask you, do you thank the Lord for all of his works and ways, even when you can't figure it all out? We should, according to verse 5 of Psalm 92, O Lord, how great are your works, your thoughts are very deep. But the senseless and stupid person doesn't understand or appreciate this truth. Verse 6, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Did you ever hear people question God's ways because they can't understand why God allowed something bad to happen? You probably all have done that, right? They don't understand that evil is only temporary, and that wicked people are like grass, here today, but gone tomorrow forever. Verse 7, when the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. The godly believer, on the other hand, can praise the Lord, because he knows that the Lord on high has the last word, and that all the enemies of God and those who practice iniquity will be ultimately eliminated forever. Verses 8 and 9. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And the godly believer goes from strength to strength and is refreshed in the Lord day by day. Verse 10, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Continual refreshment is the idea in the phrase anointed with fresh oil in verse 10. Remember the very dry climate of the Middle East and the need for anointment with the olive oil. And the godly believer can stand by and let God, in his goodness and greatness, take vengeance on the enemy. Verse 11, my eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Believers should praise the Lord for his goodness and greatness. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 92? You can still bear fruit in old age. You can still bear fruit in old age. Verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, some of your translations say in verse 14 that the older godly believers are full of sap. How many have that translation? Are full of sap. New American Standard has that. So at first I was going to make our practical application. You can still be full of sap in old age. But that would have been dated and misleading. So a better way to put it is you can still bear fruit in old age. We can't stop getting older, and we can't avoid certain limitations that go with old age, but we can still be fruitful in old age. You don't have to be put out to pasture or set aside from serving the Lord. No, you can still bear fruit in old age. Flourishing like a palm tree and growing like the cedar of Lebanon, verse 12, indicates that there's lots of variety of ministry, even as you grow older. Verse 15 indicates that your testimony in old age is effective to the younger generation. Why? Because you are speaking from experience when you declare that the Lord is upright and a solid rock of security and safety and that no unrighteousness is found in him. Even just your testimony in old age can be very effective. It bears fruit. The key for bearing fruit in old age is in verse 13. Stay planted in the house of the Lord and his courts. That is, stay in close fellowship with the Lord and his people, and you will flourish. You can still bear fruit in old age. Let's continue reading Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 93. Psalm 93 is one of the so-called enthronement psalms, or theocratic psalms, because it praises God, who is the king, who sovereignly reigns over all the earth from his throne in heaven. This psalm anticipates and looks forward to the millennial reign of Christ, when the Lord will reign over this earth from his literal throne in Jerusalem. In fact, we may literally sing this psalm when we reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom. So why not memorize Psalm 93 now so that you can sing it from memory later? And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 93. Believers will praise the Lord for his sovereignty and scripture. Believers will praise the Lord for his sovereignty and scripture. Notice how the sovereignty of God is emphasized in this psalm. The Lord reigns over the earth with majestic strength. He is in full control. Verse 1, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. No one and no thing can disrupt God's sovereign plans for this world because he has always been in full control. Verse 2, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. To emphasize the sovereignty of God, his control over the tumultuous seas is brought out in verses 3 and 4. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Why the emphasis on waves and breakers of the sea to express the sovereignty of God? Well, I can think of at least two reasons. Number one, to people of the ancient Middle East, the sea was unpredictable and uncontrollable, as well as hostile and hazardous, but no problem for the all-powerful God of Israel. And number two, in the Canaanite religions, which unfortunately were still around and had even penetrated Israel, the god Baal was supposedly over the sea. Not so, says the psalmist. The truth is that the one true God, the God of Israel, is sovereign over the sea with its tumultuous waves and breakers. In verse 5, the emphasis is on God's word. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. In contrast to the pagan gods, who were corrupt and unreliable, the God of Israel was holy, and his word was true and reliable. And that truth will be part of our praise forever. We will see that every aspect of the word of God will have been confirmed. Believers will praise the Lord for his sovereignty and scripture. And now what about practical application for Psalm 93? Study now what you will appreciate forever. Study now what you will appreciate forever. Question, why attend Bible studies? Answer, to know what the Bible says and means and how to apply God's word to our lives so that we will be obedient and joyful believers is certainly an important answer. Well, here's another important answer. So that we will appreciate God's word more forever. We said that Psalm 93 is a psalm that we may literally sing in the kingdom. Now, who do you think will appreciate this experience more? Believers who have in this life studied Psalm 93 or believers who have not studied Psalm 93? Take a guess as to what I think the answer is here. We also said that in reference to verse 5 of Psalm 93, we will praise the Lord forever when we see that every aspect of Scripture will have been confirmed. Once again, the question, which group of believers in heaven will appreciate this truth more to the glory of God? Believers who have earnestly studied God's word in this life, or believers who have not earnestly studied God's word in this life? I think you know the answer. Study now what you will appreciate forever.